Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast with Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to Youth Hockey Podcast, episode number 6. 6-0, Lance, or did we drop one somewhere along the line?
You know, we waited till the third period to run the clock this time.
Okay, so we're still ahead. Good to hear it. Coach, do you have any like in-game adjustments you want to make for this podcast?
Yeah, I think after that really kind of poor effort.
Oh, yeah.
I
noticed it, too.
I was happy to see the coach pulled our own goalie to light a fire underneath our team. And then, you know, the other team did score a couple goals on the empty net, which was embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
But then it all came out good because the coach then had the players run a mile in their equipment, their full equipment after the game, to really send the message that, hey, you know, got to have more of a team effort. So
that's right. It wasn't your, it wasn't the coach's fault. It was definitely the player's fault.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a coach take responsibility for a loss? Have you ever seen, I mean, I know, like, you know, like in like professional games, every once in a while a coach go, that was on me. Have you ever seen a youth hockey coach go, oh yeah, that game was on me, I'm sorry guys?
Yeah. The coach didn't play, did he?
I know.
Not his fault.
I get it. You're absolutely right.
Hey, Randy, you remember my infamous story of our coach, our lovely coach at 7 years old, Mites, that everyone loved, when we blew the 2-goal lead in the semifinals and lost to some team. I'll never forget. We were playing at Lakewood Ice.
Beautiful
Lakewood
facility.
California.
I mean,
and he can't
get better.
He had probably the best exit meeting for the kids I had ever seen on any team, especially 6 and 7 year olds. So half the kids were in the locker room crying because they really thought we were going to win and go to the championships. And he walked in and basically said, "Stop your sniveling. This is on you." Blew it, and he walked out the door. That was his goodbye for the season.
That was almost always I have yet to see a coach ever, and you're gonna have to send us something if you can find, if you can tell us one coach in your history that went, oh, sorry parents, that really was on me. And no, I've seen parent coaches say that they've made mistakes, but I never remember like an important game where a coach went, oh yeah, I really screwed something up. But maybe that's just because the you know, you don't want to internalize or externalize your internal monologue. Who knows? Maybe that's a game foul or something like that. That could be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what though, Randy? I do remember one that the coach took responsibility, but I think he took it as the parents were placing the noose around his neck.
Ah.
And they were going to string him from a tree. But it was a bad one. This one was a really bad one. And I was right there because I had, you know, our team had something at stake. This wasn't our team. And what happened was, this was at, if you can believe me, this was at the national championships, right? And I was watching the game because we had a vested interest. If the team in question won, we were going to get a weaker opponent in the quarterfinals at nationals. If the team in question lost, we were going to have to play probably the toughest team in the tournament. And so I was right there, Randy knows me being the geek I am. I had already worked through all the points and where everyone was at and all the standings.
Names and addresses of all the grandmothers of these kids. It's really creepy, Raleigh.
Right, exactly.
No, he has spreadsheets. Not Google spreadsheets, because we learned that earlier, but he has spreadsheets that encompass the entire landscape of youth hockey, going 2 to 3 years above and below his kids' own ages. Please continue, Lance.
Exactly. So according to my spreadsheets, I knew that the only way this team could advance and to the playoffs and put my team in a better position was they had to win in regulation, because at nationals you get like 3 points for a win, you only get 2 points for an overtime win.
Right.
And then the losing team gets 1 point, so they needed 3 points. So with the clock running down, I was with all the other team's parents, and I was telling them, I said, does your coach know you have to win? A tie and going into overtime means nothing. And I even showed, I said, and the clock's going down. I said, you got to pull your goalie. You got to pull your goalie now. And no one wanted to say anything to the coach. And he didn't know. I knew, and I'm not even part of the team.
Right.
And
they were all scared to.
Yeah, and they played, you know, prevent defense. They got to overtime. They won in overtime. And the players were all mobbing each other, and the coaches were mobbing each other. And I showed the parents the schedule, and all of a sudden the word started trickling down, and it was a lot of confusion. And anyway, fast forward to like after the game, outside in the lobby, the coach was apologizing. And I remember I told the parent, I said, I told you, you should have told him. You know, and they were like, that's his job. He should have known
They were going to lynch him.
Well, and Lance, you could just see Lance like running around telling other clubs exactly what they should be doing. You should pull the goalie, coach. Hey, not that kid. He's not very good in power play position. You know, his points per game is low. Get this, get 72. He's got more game-winning goals than any of your players. And, you know. Lance has got it all money balled down.
They didn't know if you know, if Lance was steering them wrong, so they were all afraid to go in there and make a fool out of themselves. And meanwhile, they blew their own chance to get to the national championship.
And have you ever seen Rain Man? Lance does come on a little bit like Rain Man when you first meet. When I first met Lance, you know, like Kmart, like I was getting my underwear at Kmart. That was the first thing he said to me, by the way. Almost exactly. And so I was like, oh, he's.
I thought it was the Rockies back and forth that did it.
K97X, bam, the future of rock and roll.
And then he's like, gotta pull your goalie. Gotta pull your goalie.
Slow on the driveway. Slow on the driveway.
You're not gonna make it.
Yeah, you gotta pull a goalie. And then, you know, you gotta see. I mean, I'm not certain that those people didn't just think that he, you know, hadn't wandered off from
like he was just making fun of them.
Yeah,
like
he's wandered in.
Let me see if I can get one of these people to go over and embarrass himself.
Pull the goalie. Yeah, let's see if
you gotta tell your coach you gotta pull the goalie.
And then it started going around the rink that, you know, this guy comes into every game and tells everyone to pull their goalie. He just loves to see teams pull their goalie, you know, and
exactly.
Oh, well, Lance. Oh, so you had a topic before we hit Raleigh and his juniors. Comparison. What was your topic, Lance?
My topic was don't be that parent.
Okay.
And
sounds like we all can learn from that.
Exactly. Maybe you guys have some examples of don't be a type of parent. And a parent that I don't want you to be today is I was at a game. I knew three or four players playing in the game, but my kids were not in the game. And there were like three or four kids who had played with, at one time or another, played with my boys. So I was sitting with one of the parents and I kept my mouth quiet. I was quiet. I was respectful. But the whole game, Randy and coach, they kept turning to me like, are you kidding me? You didn't pass the puck to Junior. That would have been an easy goal. He had an empty net. Why aren't they passing? And then 2 minutes later, are you kidding me? He's not on the power play. Are they not paying attention? How is Junior not on the power play? And then why wasn't Junior in the penalty kill? And just on and on. And oh, well,
so this was like a surprise to them. Like they waited for you to be there to suddenly be surprised by everything.
Exactly. Well, I will admit this was a preseason game. So it was like the first game they had played. And I just remember, like, at one point where I'd almost had enough, he was just like, oh, sure, okay, throw out that guy again. He's only been out there five times, and he's 0-for-5 in the power play. God forbid you give my kid a chance. And I was like, oh, God, I'm not sitting next to parents anymore. I just can't deal with it.
This does bring up a complicated piece of mathematics. At what point, when you're saying, like, oh, he should have scored there, you know, like if you say it every time, I think you're like Lance is saying, you're annoying. What is that? Like if your kid should have scored, how many times, or another kid should have scored, either one, by the way, how, like, one out of 10 times should you bring it up? One out of five times? Because obviously one out of one, if you're the guy that's like, oh, we should have scored there. Oh, they should have scored there. That's obviously going to get annoying. So what is the mathematics behind the proper amount of disappointment that you feel when someone that you think should have scored on your team did not score? What's the proper amount of disappointment?
Well, I want to hear the coach's opinion, because my opinion is zero. You never said it.
Okay,
yeah, great. I was going to say, like, my personal feeling is, coaching or not, like, you just don't criticize a kid that is a teammate of your kid. You just don't do it.
I think you got me wrong. It's not a criticism, like, oh my God, they should have gotten that one. It's not even a I'm upset at that kid. It's like, after your team has whiffed on 10 opportunities, are you allowed to say one? Or is that?
No, I get you. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I'm not singling out anyone, I don't think.
No, but this was, you know, I believe presented by Lance as,
oh, yeah,
this guy specifically saying, that was number 32, not tap in that.
That's true. I was moving on to a different guy, because I remember there was a guy that, like, every time he was like, this is going to be in the back of the net. Okay, this is Lance, somebody that I can do without. Narration guy. I was standing by this guy who was narrating everything that was happening. It was like, oh, Johnny's got the puck. Oh, he's passing it to Quincy. Good pass to Quincy. Oh, excellent pass to Quincy. Oh, Quincy's going to take it around the net. Oh, Quincy always takes it around the net. Oh, it's the back of the net. Back of the net. It's never in the back of the net. It's never, never, you know, so he always narrates it in his own mind, like it's going to win, you know, like there's victory, there's triumph, all this stuff. But then he forgets. It's like goldfish, because it's like, oh, no, Terrence picked it up. Oh, Terrence, come on, Terrence. Yeah. Oh, Terrence has got it. Terrence is going to pass to the point, Terrence. Oh, my God.
Right. They're showing their incredible knowledge of every player on the team.
And it's so
exhausting. That's number 23. That's Terrence.
Oh, yes. And it's so exhausting. Oh.
You know what? Terrence always goes to his left. Watch this. Oh, he went to his left. See, I told you.
And in the back of the net. Back of the net. And it's never in the back of the net. This dude called out back of the net, like, every time they buzzed. Every time. And I was like, dude, your team is a magical team. If they get it in the back of the net every time they get within, you know, 20 feet of the, you know, I don't know. But that guy, he wasn't mean, and he was just exuberant to the point. And this isn't the only time I've had a narrator guy, but that guy can stop talking at the games. I'm tired of him. Yeah, narration guy, please.
That's good. You know, you haven't done one of your hockey personalities in many, like, people don't know, people that are new listeners.
Yeah. That's noobs.
Don't know. This was a major feature of the podcast early on.
Huge draw. People used to come in
these archetypes up. Yeah. And you haven't done one in a while, but my gosh, that guy is annoying. Else I was going to say, this reminds me, because it goes back a couple episodes, but here is the most, if there's no more intimidating team to play than the team where neither the parents nor the players ever celebrate. Like, that is the team that is just matter of fact, down to business. Those are the teams that wipe the ice up with everybody. Like, the parents don't even say, like, the team's so damn good. It's like, oh, you know, oh damn, we're down 4 goals in the first 7 minutes. And there's not even been even a smattering of applause. And they're just like, they score and go over and don't even really celebrate that much and go back to the next face-off. Like, those are the teams that just strike fear in your heart, because you're like, this team is so confident and they know they're so good. They're just completely nonplussed. Like, they, you know, if you really want to know that you're on a good team, it's be one of those parents on that team that's just out there enjoying the game of hockey without celebrating even at all.
But what if they're underneath that crust, they're smug sons of bitches?
Well, you can't argue with, you know, you're that good. You can't argue with it. And that's a scary proposition.
You're right.
You're like,
you're right.
They don't even celebrate. They just had 3 tic-tac-toe goals. And
don't challenge Ralston. You know, that's why he's learned. Don't challenge Ralston. He'll run you right over. Ralston knows what he's saying, and he knows what he's doing. So, yeah.
Let me ask you, Randy. Have either of you ever run into this parent? Because this is the parent I'm waiting for, is the one that says, are you kidding me? What's my kid doing out there on the power play? Is this coach paying attention? Right. You never hear
the guy who's so selfless that he's like, for the good of the team, get my kid off the ice, for God's sake. Like, what is this guy? Is he drunk?
I do. I do cheer when like the kids get off the ice when they're supposed to, you know what I mean? Like when they're tired, you know, right. Like when they do like 45 seconds to a minute shift, those 5 minute shift kids, you know, I don't, but I do sometimes cheer when my kid gets off the ice, 'cause I'm like, well, the legs are no longer there. Just get off. Good job.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I will have a little bit of that feeling. Not that I don't want her out, you know, doing great things, but you know, when you know that, that she's done, or that, you know.
Yeah. When you've seen your kid back check three times up down the ice, and that third time back, you can just tell it's just, it's like, it's 93% lactic acid. They got nothing left.
Yeah.
And you're let somebody else.
Every once in a while, I'll get off, honey. Come on. Just get off, you know, because it's not because I don't want to see her play. It's because I know it's smarter play. It's a smarter team play to just keep people rotating with fresh legs. And, you know, so that's just a very small. Lance is absolutely right. You're never going to see. Don't put my kid on the power play. But I have one very small kind of like just a little caveat to that, which is like every once in a while I do cheer. I'm like, get off, go get, good job, sweetie, get off. Yeah, that's enough. You know, you're done. Let somebody with legs come onto the ice. It'll be good.
Right. So well, David, have you ever been in a situation where your kids maybe not having the best go of things, and the coach isn't showing much confidence in them? They're not getting tons of ice time, and
this takes out Lance's kids, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know, because I mean, Lance has had his ups and downs.
You remember Lance, like every one of Lance's stories ends up in, and we were in nationals, and we could either play a team named after a trucking firm
later,
or a team named after a fast food restaurant. And my kids wiped them both out, but that was it was hard, you know, they were only up by two at the end. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Right.
Only,
exactly.
Thanks, Lance. Thanks for that. Yeah, exactly. My kid potted three goals in a row in one of those games, and I told him, pass
who's
the
counting,
pot.
Though?
I know. That's my Lance stories.
You are just feeding Lorenz all kinds of ammo.
Have you ever been in a situation where your kid wasn't getting to play, and the game, and you're playing, the team's playing a team, and they're just way too good. And it's like end of the game, and the game's out of reach. And all of a sudden the coach starts putting your kid out in a no lose situation or no win situation where your entire team is overmatched. And you just have the feeling of like, yeah, you know what? You kept them on the bench the whole time. Just don't start putting them out in the last 3 minutes of the game when it's now 7-1. Where he sat and watched the team get scored seven goals on. Like, I'd rather he just stay on the bench. Like, he doesn't need to be out there to maybe be on the ice when they get goal number nine.
Oh, God, I know what you're talking about.
I totally know what you're talking about. I got to say, you know, I look at that and I go, yeah, we're there to play. So put him out, you know, let him get some ice time. But you also know your kid has been suffering through that. And the kids don't want to go out in that situation. They know it's just pity time. So anyway, Lance,
Lance is like, I think I met a couple people like that once. I think they were on the third line. We didn't talk much because, you know, they were on the third line. My kids didn't know
that. Hey, I've even had worse than that. I remember a game long, long time ago. And like you said, one of my kids isn't playing and we're losing and it looks like it's a hopeless cause. So they finally throw my kid out there. Face off. We score goal. My son's been out there for about 5 seconds, pulls him off because now he thinks, OK, there's hope.
Yeah,
there's hope again. And I'm like, well, why not even reward the guy for being on the ice when the goal was scored?
Yeah. You know what? That reminds me of a time in the not too distant past where, you know, all year, if there was like a sort of unwritten rule with the coach where.
Unwritten rules.
Yep. Speaking of, getting a call back to.
Yeah, a little call back to episode four.
Of the have you ever had a situation where like the coach, coach, you kind of see they have a system like if your kid's a forward, if they're out on the ice and they get scored on, coach will always take them off. Or if they're out on the ice and they score, then he'll always leave that line on for the next faceoff to give him another crack at it.
Very common.
Rewards, right?
Yeah.
Pretty common.
Seen it many times.
Okay, so here's what something that happened to my kid. Huge game. It's the playoffs. My kid jumps on the ice. His center, he's playing wing. His center had got on maybe 15 seconds before. It was like one of those typical dumping, like the other line had dumped the puck in and they were going for a change. So the center runs down, puts some pressure on the defenseman. Defenseman turns, kind of coughs up the puck. Guy turns around. My kid's jumped on the ice from the bench, comes racing into the slot, gets into like a nice position. Kid throws the puck out to him. Bang, one times the puck in. 2-1. This is a team that's ranked like 40 spots higher than us. Huge upset. Entire time for this play to be made, 7 seconds. Do you think the coach leaves my kid's line on the ice? Nope. Takes him off. That was the reward for scoring probably the biggest goal that we had all season up to that point. So just like be consistent, coaches. You know, what was that about? Like,
exactly.
I mean, the things, the funny thing is people have asked me about this coach, and you know, I just have a rule. I never like air my dirty laundry or my feeling, but I just wonder if they could see my clenched teeth as they were asking, hey, what do you think about that coach? I'm like, oh yeah, he's a good coach.
I've got a system. What you do is you say what he's not, and it helps. You're like, oh yeah, he's not a dirt bag. He's not a dirt bag at all. He's not human.
If you want
piece
a coach
of,
that has never yeah. been, charged with any kind of sex crime.
No, he doesn't.
Legit
he doesn't,
in that area.
Yeah, he's not a pervert. He's not a pervert or a dirt bag.
And it's no felonies on his record.
Yeah,
he's,
none
he's
of those things.
DUIs. Clean sheet.
I've heard. No, I haven't heard anything about not having DUIs, just so you know. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the way to, you know, code it. Most of these coaches wouldn't figure, by the way, a lot of these coaches that I've met would not figure that code out. And the ones that do, you know, they're like, you know, but again, most coaches, fine human beings. Every once in a while, you got a dirt bag, you gotta set it straight. We had one coach that was you know, we traveled across the country to play for. That guy was not a dirtbag. Oh man, he was certainly not at all. I mean, that's what I would say to anybody that asked me about him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never had crosswords with the man.
Yeah, I do not find him to be reprehensible in any way. No, certainly not.
As far as I know, good personal hygiene. Never
not
detected
a piece...
an odor.
Yeah, exactly. But just keep on digging until until it becomes so awful that you're just like, yeah, I'm done now, because I've told you all the things that he is not, and I've gone as far as I can with that. So, Coach Raleigh, I we've been putting this off, and I don't know why, because you're fantastic. The minute you start going, I think it's time for us to learn about the junior leagues.
Yes. In our ongoing series of about junior
ranking hockey, the junior leagues with Coach Raleigh.
So once again, I've cribbed information from somebody much more knowledgeable and experienced than myself. So I'm going to give.
Don't believe that person exists, Coach. Don't believe
absolutely.
That. No,
but,
you chart our course, Coach. You chart it. So don't say those things.
Well, let me give credit. You know, we've talked about player advisor organizations. This ranking comes courtesy of a organization called Advancement Hockey Advising. Feel free to check them out. They've got some really great videos on YouTube. Full credit to them for these rankings. They're not my rankings, but I am familiar with this, and I think there's some interesting stuff in there.
Now, getting paid by them, is he?
No, absolutely not. And thank you for bringing that up. Yes, they've never heard of me. So anyway, watch their video. And this is Junior A League rankings with a particular focus on NCAA advancement. So this is, you know, their particular algorithm that they're using here. And I think one thing that's interesting about this is that they that probably a lot of these are not going to be surprises to people, but other than when you see how many leagues there are, but a lot of these leagues, well, you may find that there's a few things that are maybe somewhat surprising, because one thing they built into this was to look not just at the number of players that these leagues are sending to the NCAA, both Division I and Division III, but also how many teams are in the league. So if you just, you know, you might purely base this on the raw numbers, but that somewhat understates the, you know, how successful a league is that has maybe less teams.
That's right. So the efficiency, you're digging into the efficiency of different leagues to get your kid into NCAA.
Right. So we'll get into this right off the top. So number one, and these, you know, this is obviously not figuring in any of the major junior leagues in Canada. So this is all junior A leagues, and many of them are in Canada, but you know, that a US born player could play at and still get a Division I or III scholarship offer or commitment. So number one, USHL, I think everybody knows this. It's the one tier one league. They matriculate the most players into the NCAA.
Oh, hey, Dave, can we clarify something though?
Yeah.
Like, because from where my understanding of the junior leagues is that, well, I guess I haven't really heard of, well, I guess it is A. See, where I've come from, like USHL is junior triple A or tier
it's,
one.
It's a tier one junior. It's the only tier one junior organization that we have in the US.
Right, because then the NAHL and the NCDC is considered tier two, or what I call double A.
Right. And we've talked about these before. They're the tier one and tier two leagues. The main differentiator is that your kid will not be asked to pay anything other than possibly room and board. I mean, I guess they all require room and board, right?
Now, Coach, do we have any percentages from the U Show? I mean, what percentage of those kids get asked to go to NCAA?
I don't have that.
I'd love to know that. You know, like, I tell you what, people of the Youth Hockey Podcast, gmail.com, I would love to know, like, what is the percentage of, if you get your kid gets invited to be on one of those high profile teams, has he really punched his ticket into the NCAA, or is there,
it's not guaranteed, but it's a lot. And
I know, I mean, you I can think just
look
so
at the raw numbers.
No, I would totally think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So the USHL, and then we get to number two, which I think most people would say the NAHL, North American Hockey League. However, these guys say, well, we're going to call this a tie between the BCHL, the British Columbia Hockey League, and the NAHL. And the reason being that, again, this per capita thing comes into play. The NAHL has a absolute S ton of teams spread across the country. And it is the one sort of legitimate USA Hockey tier two league that is available to, you know, in the United States.
Is S-ton a metric rating, David?
I try not to get scientific, but if you need to look that up.
Okay, I'll look it up.
It's a metric, the S-ton that, I don't want to, you know, diverge into science here.
Thank you, though.
So that's probably interesting to a lot of people, BCHL. In fact, we know of a player, one thing that's interesting about the BCHL too, one team in the BCHL is in the United States, just one. And there's some rules. This is nothing to do with anything other than just think it's an interesting thing to note, is that if your kid is not Canadian, there are restrictions to playing in the BCHL, with the exception of this one team in the U.S., the Wenatchee Wild. So there is, someone probably explains why that team traditionally is pretty good, because they sort of get the benefit of the doubt of, like, they can have 16-year-old players from the U.S. playing on them, top tier 16, 17-year-old players who would not be eligible to play on one of the other BCHL teams. But regardless, I think a lot of people kind of sleep on the BCHL, and it is a very good league, very high quality play. And we're from California, so it's geographically closer for our kids than a lot of these other things. So if you could get your kid on a BCHL team, it's a very good path for them to have a good chance of advancement to the NCAA. So number three on their list is the AJHL. Lance, have you ever heard of this league, the AJHL?
Yeah, a couple of the kids from the Ducks we played there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it like Alberta Junior Hockey League?
Yes, I believe so. And there's so many acronyms here that I don't even know half of these leagues. So AJHL, and so then at number four, this guy has a three-way tie between the CCHL, the OJHL. You can like you were saying, you can kind of surmise, A is Alberta, O is Ontario, and the NCDC. So the NCDC, as we've talked about quite a bit, Lance, your son is playing on one of the top tier NCDC teams. A real good path for advancement, but not a USA signatory. So even though they operate as a quasi-tier two team, because they're not a signatory to USA Hockey, they aren't treated and considered to be a tier two junior organization. They sort of exist in, US Hockey limbo, because they're a signatory to what, the U.S. Premier, or sorry, the U.S., what is it, USPHL?
Yeah, the overall United States Premier Hockey League.
Right. And if people don't know, because I bet a lot of people don't, this is the difference. Like, USPHL is, and there's plenty of these situations up in Canada. There's USA Hockey, and then there's, what is the Canadian equivalent of that? It's like I don't remember the name for it. It's Hockey Canada. So, I mean, they're sort of the main organizations for the country, ostensibly, but people tend to eventually sort of get fed up with some of the red tape, maybe, or something that just doesn't work for them. And then you get these alternative leagues. So that's what the USPHL is in the States. And it's been growing, and it's, there's an awful lot of kids playing in some team that is a member of the USPHL.
One of the other things too, Dave, I'll tell you, just mm-hmm. from my own experience, is, and I think it's driven by how they're designed. And again, I'm not an expert on this, but when you get to a lot of these teams, when you get to these higher level teams, these teams that are paying for you to play there, they're in some very small rural towns. And that you know what I mean? Like some,
yes,
of these top,
absolutely,
USHL teams and NAHL teams are in these small little places. And that's by design, because I believe, my understanding is, I guess beyond sponsorships, one part sponsorship, the rest is attendance.
Right.
Band attendance. That's paying and that's funding the team. The one of the things I kind of like about the NCDC is the NCDC is in some in major cities, there's multiple teams in Boston. There's teams in Boston. There's teams in Long Island, New York, and
it's traditionally been an East Coast league, and that's the argument I've made on behalf of it quite a bit, is that I know this for a fact, is that your kids on those East Coast teams, get a lot of they get a lot of eyeballs on them because it's just logistics. You know, your scouts from the preponderance of Division I teams that are in the on the East Coast can go catch, you know, 2-3 NCDC games with a 15 to 30 minute car ride. They just can't do that to go watch a game in Fargo, North Dakota.
Right. And another one of the big advantages too, it may sound, you know, like unimportant, but like we went out and experienced this year some different teams at the various tiers. And like I said, you go out there and it you know what I mean? It's just like the town has like one grocery store, one McDonald's, and then you go to like some of these NCDC teams and you're living in, you know, you might as well be living in the middle of Los Angeles. Very, you know, very hustle and bustle, huge cities, which is kind of
nice. You might have better educational opportunities for your kid if they're still going to school,
better accommodations, better restaurant choices.
And there's just an awful lot of kids playing. So, I mean, this has always been my feeling about the NAHL. And there's another thing about the NAHL, which we'll get into in a minute, which I think you could also accuse the NCDC of having this sort of inherent conflict. But we'll get into it in a second. So anyway, let's keep going on here because there's a lot more team, a lot more leagues, believe it or not. So I think we talked about the OJHL. I guess for some reason they sort of segmented a couple of these leagues. So they also talked about the OJHL and the SJHL. So this is their number five. I guess they're kind of saying, okay, there's some top level teams, and then there's some, like, you can kind of look at the how the team's performing, and if you're close to the bottom of the league, then chances are there's a lot less recruiting going to be happening of your team. So anyway, number five, they've got those two leagues. Number six, the MJHL. Any familiarity with that league?
I haven't heard of that one.
So I know maybe we should come back to this list in a future episode when I can really look into them some more. The number seven, the EHL, I am familiar with, the East Coast Hockey League, Eastern Hockey League. Number eight, the NOJHL. And number nine, the USPHL Premier. So here's where we kind of get into the potential for conflicts of interest. So a lot of NCDC teams also have USPHL Premier teams. They might... I love word salad for these type of things, but the way it works, if you're at a really big USPHL program, they may have an NCDC team, a USPHL Premier team, a USPHL Elite team, and a USHL 18s and 16s teams. There could be just a S-ton of technical term there, trademark, teams at that program. So what you do see in some situations is people that claim to have been baited and switched. Possibly their kid was drafted, went to the program ostensibly to attend and to play for NCDC. Don't make it. The organization comes to them and says, yes, but listen, stay here. We do think your kid has the talent to get there. We've got a USPHL Premier team, play for that team for a year. Maybe the kid will get called up. They'll get developed here. You know, we're here to matriculate your kid and have them advance. Some people say, well, I feel like you screwed us. You know, you've got us in here thinking that our kid's going to play NCDC, and now you want us to pay money to play on the Premier team.
Premier team is like around $12,000 to play for. Is that correct as well? That's whatever. I've heard 9 to 12. That's what I've heard.
It depends on the organization and the team.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've heard that too. Lance,
from what I heard, that's the standard. However, the coach was saying, at some levels, I've heard of, I know kids at playing at, you know, that Dave's got to tell you how many teams there are, because that'll blow you away in the USPHL. So there, I have heard of teams that'll offer to get certain kids in the program, they'll offer them some discounts or incentives.
Yeah, no. I think just like anything, you sometimes find yourself on a team paying a little bit less than your neighbor, depending upon, you know, how valuable your kid is to that program. All I'm asking is, like, is there a top end? I mean, is it not over 15, or do you know?
That I don't know if there's restrictions.
That's what I was wondering.
Highest I've ever heard is 12.5 is the highest I've ever heard. But
I thought I heard Florida was like 15. That's what I was at. I didn't know if I heard that rumor from you or what. I heard there was like a team down in Florida that, like, you know, just has 800 really? Teams.
Yeah, jacking up.
Yeah. And
the cost,
so they,
because again, they, but I mean,
they're building a program. I'm not, well, by the way, I'm not angry at them.
But there's
I mean,
my understanding is, just so you know, and maybe Dave can corroborate or give more insight, but my understanding is it's because of how the league is designed. So again, if you're playing for, you know, I don't know, Lincoln, Nebraska, USHL team, they're self-sufficient. They have to, you know, I mean, they have to raise their money through ticket sales, sponsorships, etc. My understanding is in these USPHL programs, they're all feeding the NCDC program.
If they have an NCDC team, because
right. So if you have an NCDC team, your premier team is funding those players.
Right. That's true. Although, so just out of curiosity, one of your sons is playing at a top tier NCDC team. How many, and they're on the East Coast in an area where, you know, I've been to their facility. My kids played, you know, games as a 15U there, but at their arena, how many people are at the games typically? Is it a very successful there, or is it just because there's so many other options that they can't really draw what maybe a team in the USHL might be able to draw?
Right. The only people that typically, I've been to a bunch of games, and typically the only people that are going to the games are the scouts and the parents.
Right.
They're so not, you know, because like you said, because of the way they're designed, and they're, you know, when you're in the middle of New England, you know, I mean, you got the Boston Bruins, you got all kinds of options. I don't know necessarily that you're going to go see an NCDC team. You know, when you live in the middle of farmland Wisconsin, you know, that's your only entertainment option, you know.
Right.
And so that's why those guys,
or if you're on the border of Mexico in the US, you can maybe have a NA3HL team that is selling out the 2,000 seats. Because
as a matter of fact, you know, when we were looking at you know, when my son had options, like he was looking, do I want to go NCDC? Do I want to go NAHL? And I remember, you know, when they talked to us, they talked about the fact, they said, look, the team he was drafted by is going to get 5,000 people a night. That's just the way it is. He said, but ask them how many scouts from D1 colleges will be there. And he said, I would bet you that they would be lucky to get one. He said, come to our game, there's going to be 20 to 25 people in the stands.
Right.
15 10 of them are plus scouts. Will be D1 colleges watching.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just a fact. So it's not that they're not.
You mean when my kid was playing up in Missoula, Montana, there weren't a bevy of NCAA Division I scouts watching him?
How many is it?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
One, yes.
Oh, I am so. Oh, I need to talk to somebody immediately.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of keep this thing rolling, because I know the clock is ticking here.
This so is an official Ralston podcast, by the way. Everyone else, and you'll notice this, when it's Lance's topic, it's 32 minutes. When it's my topic, 28, 30 minutes. When we get to official Ralston topics, there's no way to put a lasso this man in. You just let it go.
Efforts to keep this going.
I don't even watch the clock. Yeah, I'm sorry. Please continue.
We'll rein him in at the 3 hour mark.
So number 10 on the list here, because we've had a few ties with 2, 3, 4 teams in it. But number 10 on the list is the SIJHL, better known to those of you that don't know your junior A hockey as the Superior International Junior Hockey League. Apparently, they do matriculate some kids up in a lot of these teams appear to be up in Canada as well.
It sounds like they're boasting a little bit, though, to have Superior and, you know what I mean? It's around
Thunder Bay, Ontario, and whatnot. These are teams surrounding Lake Superior.
Okay.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, I apologize.
They can go there.
Yeah, go ahead. Superior, I get it.
So number 11, last one on this list is they again dip back in the USPHL, saying, okay, it's a big league. There's some teams in there that aren't very good. Let's be honest. If your team's a USPHL premier bottom feeder team, then we're going to rank you number 11 along with NA3HL. So I found this very surprising because look what they're saying here. They're saying that the NA3HL, who also there's a bunch of NAHL teams that also have an NA3 team. And people have also said, hey, you know, my kid went there and, you said stay for the NA3HL. We're going to develop them and move them up to the NAHL. Is that bait and switch? These guys are saying, look, the NA3 is not a league your kid wants to be in very long, if at all. If they're there, you know, for a season, okay.
Hey. Let's not crap on the NA3HL, shall we? I'm sorry.
My kid might end up in an NA3 team. You sons of guns.
You know what you're doing, right?
Send your moral outrage towards Advancement Hockey Advising. They're the ones that came up with this.
I know, but you're the one that kind of like sat on it. Like, oh, and by the way, if you guys can't get into anything, maybe, or if the premier team you're on happens to be the worst team they've ever seen in the Premier League, they're 11 with the NA3HL. That was mean, Raleigh.
It wasn't my ranking. I've said it before. If there's a point where my son,
the Missoula Bruins team, were a powerhouse. And that's all I can say. That's all I can say about the NA3HL.
Hey, it was a nice program. Now the coach decided not to stay there long and went right into another league. So
that's true.
But anyway, just food for thought when teams are coming to you and you're looking at opportunities. To me, the surprising thing about this is look how many leagues we're talking about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like 13, 14 leagues, some of which I would not have considered in the past, didn't even know they existed. There's a lot more junior A hockey than you think. And by the way, this completely excludes junior B and junior C leagues, of which there are plenty. So now I just want to get through this. So what they did was they added two more categories. The first was these are leagues that they did not recommend because the first one was they didn't recommend these leagues, not because they said specifically they're necessarily not good leagues, but that they don't really have any focus or purpose of matriculating people to the NCAA. They're Canadian leagues, and they may be a lot more viable for a Canadian kid or someone that's, you know, as willing to look at, you know, I want to move my kid up to Canada and have him play there and maybe go to a Canadian university. And those leagues are the first one was the MAJHL. And I have read some things about the MAJHL, and there's some interesting things. You talk about you know, some teams that are in a very small towns where they probably do have people coming out to the games, but they're just saying these leagues don't send players to the NCAA.
I heard that most of the Swiss imports go into the MAJCHL. That's what I heard. That's pretty much where the level of the Swiss player coming over to.
Well, listen, the Canadians.
That's what I heard.
The Swiss are so far behind us in academics.
Oh yeah,
that they would never consider a low-level American university.
Yeah, but that's US where they slot in. I just wanted to make sure that I could add that little tidbit there. That's the where most Swiss players come in, whereas Austrians generally fit in the NAL and the NCDC and the U show. So it's good to have that.
Is Lorenz ever going to speak to you again?
I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see if
he'll have his own episode.
I'll upload it for him. By the way,
that will be our first video episode.
I will be the first person to be like, okay, Lorenz, take your shot, baby. Take your shot.
The other league in here, I am not familiar with whatsoever. It starts with a Q, so I'm going to guess Quebec. The Quebec Junior AAA Hockey League, the QJAAAHL. Another league they say your kid's not going to get recruited at the NCAA. Now to conclude, here are four leagues where they say we don't recommend your kid play in these leagues because the quality of play is very poor. And those leagues are a league we are all familiar with, the WSHL, Western States Hockey League. I thought the WSHL flat out was just going under. I guess it's reemerged. They did caveat this and say a couple of the teams at the very top of the league maybe consider. I don't know what those teams are at this point, but in general, WSHL, not a recommended league.
Well, in the history of the Flyers, Valencia Flyers, I can tell you this.
Never sent one kid.
One kid. That's right. Three kids to Division III and one kid to Division I in the history. And I think it was like a 20-year history, 15, right. 20 years.
So
you got some odds there. But again, that's one. I mean, I think we all know that quote from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, and then the EHL Premier. Again, like the Eastern Hockey League, but it's funny because you have these words Premier, like it makes it sound good, but it's actually a step down from the EHL, and they don't see a lot of quality in the play there. USPHL Elite is another USPHL league, a step below. I would say again, if it's a stepping stone, if the teams. You like the organization, you like the coaching, they want to take your kid on. He's maybe younger, towards the younger, or just needs some. But
let your kid play young in the junior leagues. Probably don't. No. We've been advertising against that. Yeah,
I wouldn't advise it.
We've got a thing at the bottom of the show. It's like one of those like nicotine warnings. It's like, do not let him play in junior A's. Right.
But people aren't going to listen to us. So
no, nobody listens.
USPHL Elite. It's probably pretty marginal hockey. You can also, sometimes you can, if you really want to spend the time, I hope that most people have spent some time and looked at like eliteprospects.com, and most kids get in there if they play up into the 16s, 18s level. If you go and you look at a team and they've got their roster on there and you start looking to see where these kids played, a lot of times you'll look at these leagues and see, okay, this roster, 90% of these kids never played a year of AAA hockey. They played high school hockey and or AA. And that's the majority of the roster. That tells you, who they're recruiting. Doesn't mean that there's not some kids in there that are just going, that are going to surprise everybody, but you can, I think you got to do your due diligence when you're looking at teams, depending on, how you see your kid and what their experience is. And then last but not least, the GMHL, also a league they say is very low quality. And again, all these leagues below the couple that we talked about, you're paying for your kid to play hockey there. It could be, anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000, I guess we've talked about. It's a significant investment. It's like AAA money. Be aware of what you might be getting. If I had the money and my kid wants to play hockey, I don't care where he plays, as long as he still has a love for the sport. And I'm not going to, you got to play where you're wanted. So I don't look down on anybody. But again, this list purely from the perspective of your kid wanting to play NCAA hockey at some point. So there you go. Quite a good list from Advancement Hockey Advising. Any
Coach,
thoughts,
you're the
guys?
Best. No, you're the best. I mean, no, we just need to stick your head into the funnel that is hockey and see, what there's so many options. I mean, there just seem to be so many options. It's good to have at least some markers along that trail. So that I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks to them. Let's end it on the, at least the, or this topic on the note of, I'd rather your kid play hockey if that's what they love to do. I don't care where they're playing. Let them play the sport. It's a great sport. And as long as they can play as far as they want to go, they don't have to play college hockey and have it still be worthwhile.
Well, and you've been giving people other outs too, the ACHA a few weeks back. And, even something as silly as the roller hockey thing that I was like, just, I was looking at that. Anything that, keeps the kids playing some of these sports. It's nice to know that there are other pathways forward that don't cost $1 million and can, keep your kid healthy and competing and remembering all those wonderful things that he went through as a child or she.
Well, it even beyond that, there's just a great visceral experience to play the game of hockey. So many, I look at so many parents who have done this for their kids and never played the sport themselves. So they just really don't know. Please take it from me. Like, it's such a great, just visceral experience. There's a reason why your kid loves this sport.
Yeah.
Boy or girl, it's an incredible challenge and it's such a fun experience.
How much you want to bet Lance is basting some ribs right now? I haven't heard from him for a while. I bet he's basting some ribs.
Well, we were right in his wheelhouse too when we're talking.
I know. I was like totally.
There's a guy who knows junior hockey. It's Lance.
Yeah,
so.
I was totally waiting for him. It was like, oh man, he must be off. He got like some of that diet orange soda, and he's like living his best life.
Exactly. In 90 degree weather, Randy would say, right?
Yeah, how is it over there tonight? The last time, of course, I did it from Shea Lance. Do you have it a little more temperate this time, Lance, now that you're home?
Well, now that I'm home, I dropped it 10 degrees.
Oh, what's it, about 80 there?
Oh, you just hit him in the wallet right there. I bet.
No, now I'm at 72.
Wow. Okay. Wow, nice and cool up there in the...
We do 76. I mean, I must admit, with the current electricity bills, we do 76. How about you, Ralston? What are you at?
I don't know what it is right now. That's why I said 80, because I know I went out and had to get some food, and it was like 80 at the time. And I'm like, why isn't it cooler?
Yeah, no, sounds a little warm.
Well, as soon as you come back, Randy, it'll be back up to 85.
I know. You are so mean, but I'm not going to let anyone else know this, Lance. Everyone on the podcast is going to think that you're a saint, you're kind, you're jolly. I'm never going to let them know the dark side of Lance Alexander. I'm just not going to let them do it. Anyway, thank you all for listening to episode 6 of Root Youth Hockey Podcast. And we really would like to see you get involved. If at all possible, throw us your questions. Give us something to chew on here at the Youth Hockey Podcast. We reach out constantly into the hockey world through our kids. But sometimes an adult, you're asking the questions that we don't always hear. So it would be lovely, even more than lovely, wonderful, if you would email in your questions at youthhockeypodcast@gmail.com. Tell all of your friends about Lance Alexander and Dave Ralston. They're wonderful. They are wonderful fountains of knowledge about the sport. And occasionally we even get a couple things right. And when we get it wrong, at least we have a fairly good time while we're doing it. Gentlemen, anything else you want to say on the backside?
When we get it wrong, we'll deny, deny, deny.
Yeah, well, hockey season almost upon us. So people can start watching the NHL again. Yep. So it's that time of year.
We're going to count this this one as a goal. My hand's going down. Yes, it is a goal. Thank you all for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.